All right, we're going to begin the workshop, and just a little brief intro. About every 5 years, give or take, the Florida College System does an economic impact study to see, you know, how the system impacts our state. The last impact study was done back in 18 that covered the 16-17 year, and then the recent impact study was just completed in 25, and it has the 23-24 data. And then, you know, they do it college-wide, but they also do a college-specific one that we purchase as well. You know, interesting part of the Florida College System generates $56.7 billion, with a B, in ad income, or put differently, $640,484 jobs supported by the system. So it's it shows you some impact. The Florida College System this time engaged Lightcast, their leading provider in economic impact studies, labor data for educational institutions, and they prepared the study for each of our colleges. Today we're going to have them here virtually to lead the economic analyst with Lightcast is Jake Henney, and as well as his colleague Hannah Ruffridge. And at this time, I'm going to turn it over to them to give you a high-level overview of Daytona State College's impact. And we did print out a copy, a one-pager, that kind of shows a dashboard of our study. But so with that, Jake, you're on.
Thank you for the introduction. I've got a short presentation today where we'll go over the results at a high level, digging into each particular impact that makes up your total impact on the state of Florida, on your service region, as well as an additional portion where we'll look at return on investment to various groups of stakeholders. So without further ado, I'll jump into that presentation now. Just a little bit of background on Lightcast, if you're unfamiliar with who we are, what we do. We have been completing these sorts of studies for 20-plus years, about 3,000-plus studies completed, and some additional pieces there regarding other tools we provide, as well as some information regarding Aspen Prize winners. So looking into your impact study specifically, we have two kind of constituent parts. The first is the economic impact analysis, which is measuring the impact of your institution on its local economy. The second portion there is the investment analysis, and that measures the impact of various groups of costs and benefits on stakeholders. So I'll get into what makes up each parts of those here in a little bit, but at a high level, what we're looking at here is an annualized impact of the college based off of the data that was given and provided for fiscal year 23-24. And that second group, that investment analysis, will be looking at the impact of, we'll be looking at the return on investment to various groups of stakeholders, again, based off of that given analysis here, but over the course of those students' working lives. So, you know, for instance, in the student portion of that analysis, we'll be talking about what returns they receive over time. Some background information regarding your service region. Given region was Volusia and Flagler counties. Here you can see at the top, we have average earnings by education level. Five given education levels there, highlighting the associate's completions. You can see at the bottom there, we'll provide some information about the gross regional product of the service region. If you're unfamiliar with that term, that is analogous to GDP at the national level. So that's a similar metric there, measuring overall economic activity in the region, as well as the total number of jobs supported. The total number of jobs in the service region is about 350,000. Some background information in regards to the data that was received, just for context for you. All the information on this page specifically was received by Lightcast from the college, so from your institutional research department. So we have first total number of students broken down by credit and non-credit standing, total number of employees, as well as total payroll and benefits, total tuition and revenue, and then students from outside of the service designated service region. This final piece is important for when we talk about student spending impact, which I'll get into in a little bit more detail here in a minute. So starting off with our first two major impacts we measured, we first took a look at the impact of your operations spending. So operations spending is primarily concerned with college payroll, but there are also other spending categories that get rolled into that. So college payroll making up the bulk of it, followed by operation and maintenance costs. Essentially, what we're looking to measure specifically in this section is how does the money that goes towards keeping the lights on at the college impact the service region. And included in that are various ripple effects. So that spending, obviously, there's the initial spend, you know, for example, spending on a maintenance cost. There's the initial spending on the labor for that maintenance cost, as well as any, you know, parts or materials for that maintenance. This money obviously doesn't stop when it is given. The impact of this money doesn't stop when it's just given to, you know, the company that's running that maintenance or the contractor who's doing that maintenance. They are then spending that money on other goods and services to help power their business, and then that money will radiate through the economy. So we're measuring not just the initial spend, but the subsequent spendings of that money in the economy, and including that in that. One other thing I want to mention here when we're talking about these impacts is that there are, you'll see here, and you'll see when we look at total impact, we're using this term added regional income. Now, added regional income is distinct from sales in that we are attempting to be conservative in our methodology and make these results as realistic and dependable as we can. So to facilitate that, we're using this added regional income term, which is really designed to mitigate or eliminate the idea of leakages. So we're trying to make sure we're being hyper specific to the money that's being spent and staying in the region. So I one example I like to use of this sort of phenomena is for the operation spending specifically, is you can imagine that say an employee, they receive their salary, and they spend a portion of that salary on a new car as purchased at a local dealership. If the if we were operating under a sort of sales methodology or sales metric, we would say that, you know, the total price of the car would be counted as an impact. But in reality, what's happening with that purchase is that obviously a portion of that money is going to the local dealership, and they're retaining that new income, but a portion of that money is also going back to the dealer, back to the manufacturer, whether that's in, you know, Detroit or Tokyo. So we can't exactly say where that money is going, but we know it's leaving the region, and thus it shouldn't be included in a regional specific balance. I'll draw your attention here to the bottom of the slide. We have an additional figure there along with the total impact jobs supported in the region. Now, this is an additional figure we include, hopefully to help kind of bring these numbers, these large, you know, we're talking hundreds of millions, tens of millions of dollars, try to sort of humanize and bring that figure down to earth. You know, it's not just the college just isn't providing a service in terms of it's bringing in that money, but it's also that money is being used to support jobs. So people, real people are being impacted by that spending. any questions I can answer on this portion here before we move on? So moving to construction and spending impact, construction spending impact follows a very similar methodology to the one I just described for operation spending. Obviously, when we're looking at specifically construction spending, there's a kind of a narrower band of spending that's included in there that was designated by the college. But on top of that, we're shocking a narrower range of industries as a result because of that spending has narrowed specifically to construction. But otherwise, methodology stays the same. We're still measuring the initial spend as well as any sort of ripple effects that, that radiate out from it. So here we measured $9.2 million in added regional income as well as jobs supported, 128 jobs supported in the region. One thing I'll clarify here is that when we say for the initial money that went into this, we're looking at that on an annual basis. So we were looking specifically at construction expenditures that took place in FY 23-24. So not looking at the total impact of a multi-year project, we're looking specifically at money spent during that, that one year. Okay. Moving to our next two groups of impacts here, we have student spending impact and the alumni impact. So starting with student spending, when we measure student spending, we are looking specifically two groups of students when we speak to this analysis. So it is specifically looking at relocated and retained students. So what do we mean by those two terms? Relocated students are students who have originated from outside of the service region and then are coming into the service region. The reason we're interested in the activities of these students is because if somebody is from outside of the service region and has moved in specifically to receive an education, that we can attribute that move and we can attribute their subsequent spending as a result of that move to the college. So that means a portion of nearly all of the income that they're spending on goods and services locally. So, you know, you can think of anything that anybody might spend their money on, housing, groceries, transportation costs, these sorts of day-to-day costs, we can attribute those that spending that they're doing to the college. So that's why we're so interested, I should say, in the activities of these students and in the number and where they're coming from. The second group of students is kind of the inverse of this first group. So retained students are students who, if the college wasn't there, they would have left to pursue educational opportunities elsewhere. And as a result, we can attribute a portion of their spending to the college as well, because we would have assumed that they would have gone and found that educational opportunity somewhere else, and there that subsequent spending would have left the region. We are not in this section, I'll say, we're not measuring the total spending of all students, but looking, again, at those two specific groups, because, again, their spending is attributable. So this was measured at $27.5 million in added regional income and about 450 jobs supported. One thing I'll note before I move on here is that you'll see, again, all of these numbers are going to be in added regional income figure. We're going to be using that as that's the go forward figure in terms of all of the one pagers in the shorter documents. But in the main report, if you're also curious as to regards to the total sales in that is included. Now moving on to the final section here, that alumni impact section. This is going to be the largest figure you'll see by far in this report in terms of the impact section. So for the alumni impact, we are looking at the higher future earnings of your alumni in fiscal year 23-24. So essentially, what did your cumulative alumni who are in the workforce and in the service region, what did they earn compared to the earnings they would have received if they hadn't gotten the college education, as well as any increased business profit that they might generate? Now, what do we mean by increased business profit? We're simply here trying to measure the increased efficiencies that your alumni bring. They have increased skills. They're more efficient in the workforce compared to somebody without the skills they received at Daytona State. So we're saying essentially your alumni are earning more, and as a result, businesses are more efficient and are operating at a higher margin than they would otherwise. combining those two measurements, we sum those together and arrive at that total added regional income figure of $795 million, with about 11,000 jobs supported. Now, one thing I will say when we come to this section here is that, speaking specifically of the alumni impact, this is a, if we were doing this analysis on, say, another sort of business, say, you know, a widget factory, for example, this is where I would talk about the product as the impact of the product and the impact of the sales of the product. But for higher education, that product, quote unquote, is students. They're entering the workforce with those higher skills. They're earning more, and those skills are helping local businesses earn more as a result. So that is, I believe, a pretty powerful message to be putting out there, and a pretty powerful point when you're comparing this to other, comparing an investment in Daytona State to an investment in, you know, another public, any sort of other non-education public related spend. So that's a point I always like to highlight. So moving to the total impact of all of these together. So total impact, and you'll see in any of the documents we've put out, that total, when you see total impact, that will just be the sum of those previous four sections we looked at. So summing up the alumni, the student, operations and construction. So we're summing that figure, and arrives at a total added income to the region of $942 million. Which is roughly equivalent to about 3.4% of the region's GRP. So another way to put this is that 3.4% of all economic activity in those two counties are the direct result of Daytona State College. That impact, that $942 million impact, supported about 13,600 jobs. And another way to put that would be simply to say that one out of every 26 jobs in the service region is the direct result of Daytona State. Moving your attention to the figure on the right here, you'll see we have impact by industry in terms of that job supported figure. So we break down more specifically. So these are by SOC, six-digit SOC code. We break down what industries specifically does that spend impact. Now, one thing I like to note here is this is not a direct measure of employment of your alumni. We're not saying, you know, the majority of your alumni are working in retail trade, for example. We are looking at the total impact, which includes both spending and employment. So it is that figure, that impact by employment number would be muddled by the other. By the resulting spend into that industry by all those various groups of people we measured. So want to highlight that, but also appearing on that list are things like healthcare and social assistance, public other services, retail estate, real estate and rental leasing, and government non-education industries, as well as the bulk of that being made up by smaller portions. So that brings us to the end of the first section, that impact analysis section. Any questions I can answer, or anything I can clarify?
I had one question. Mm-hmm. When earlier on, I think it was maybe the first or second slide, you referred to credit and non-credit students. Mm-hmm. Could you clarify that again in terms of what's the differentiation between those two?
Yeah, so specifically we had asked that when we received this data that it be broken down into 12 or so groups of students based off of based on what degree what program they're working to complete, whether that was an associate's or 1 or 2 year certificate, or we had specifically when we were looking at the non-credit students, we had three groups that made up that subsection. Those were basic education students, so students looking to receive things like high school equivalencies or English as a second language certificates. We had workforce professional development. These are courses that are designated as non-credit bearing, but you know, things designed for people who are already in the workforce, looking to attain additional skills. And then we had finally, we have like personal enrichment. So these are students who are enrolled primarily for pleasure or for in courses that are not designed to be re-granting. So those were the groups of students we call non-credit in the shorter sheets. In the main report, there's a breakdown of which categories every student fit into that we provided, if you're looking for more detail.
Just because we're competitive, if you're at liberty to share with how our 3.4% of the region's GRP, how does that compare with some others without maybe necessarily naming names?
Yeah. So
I'm ready for a Go Falcons cheer.
I've got a big, I hope you're ready for a big preface before I get to actually trying to answer your question here. But we generally discourage against comparing between colleges on any metric, because there are there's a lot of factors at play when we do these analyses. Obviously, you know, for instance, if your college is located in a more rural area, there's going to be a big difference in the proportional GRP as well as the total GRP compared to a major metro. There are wages and a number of other factors kind of distinguish colleges across the state of Florida. You know, if you're in Miami-Dade County, you're going to have higher wages because cost of living is higher. So we don't we wouldn't recommend comparing across in that way. I would generally caution against that, but I would say comparatively across the board, we did not find any. There was no major outliers in the Florida colleges system, so there was no one was so far and above anyone else to cause a. Obviously, there are individual differences, especially when it came to the next section we'll look at, because there's difference in funding structures across the colleges. But generally, we didn't identify any major standouts in either direction. So that's what I would say.
I will also add that the percentage that you're representing of the gross regional product in the region is very much dependent on the region of choice. So if you chose a smaller region, we're going to see that percentage grow up or get larger, because you essentially represent a bigger fish in a smaller pond. Whereas if you were to choose a larger region or even the state as a whole, you're going to be a smaller fish in a bigger pond. So some of the colleges, each of the colleges chose different regions depending on their use cases for the study. And depending on the region of choice, that can really influence that percentage value. So they, just to give you an idea, the percentage of the region's GRP can range from 0.1% and 0.2% for a few colleges, all the way up to really yours of over 3%. So there is a drastic range, and it does depend on the size of the college as much as it depends on the size of the region that was chosen for the analysis.
Go Falcons.
Well, if there are no other questions on this section, we'll get into the investment analysis section of the reports. So the investment analysis section is, again, we're not as concerned with overall total impact numbers, but looking specifically on return and investment to various groups of stakeholders. So we have identified three groups. I'll get into the definitions of each group here in a little bit. Before I do that, I'll give you the bird's eye view in terms of the methodology here. So the main figure you'll see kind of put front and center for this section is that benefit cost ratio. Now, to arrive at that benefit cost ratio, we have to do two things. First, derive total benefits to each group. Then identified the costs associated with those benefits. So, for instance, for the student section, is probably the simplest one, where we are obviously looking at students as a group of stakeholders. They have associated costs with attendance, so things like tuition and supplies, as well as opportunity costs. And then the benefits they derive are higher future earnings. So the money that they will earn comparative to the money they will earn as a result of their degree that they would that is higher than the money they would have otherwise earned if they had not received their credentials. So for this year, it was about $412 million. This is a not an annualized figure. This is the total higher earnings that your students who attended in fiscal year 23-24 will receive over the course of their working lives, about a period of about 40 years. So as a result of their education, they're receiving that $412 million on top of what they would have earned. One thing I'll also note is these figures are in net present value. Essentially what we're saying there is that we are normalizing the amount that money to the current year. So inflation, future inflation, we're not guessing at that, but saying that this is in today's dollars how much more they will earn. Again, and I'll also say that this is as a cohort, so looking at all of your students, inclusive of your credit, non-credit student populations, that is as the total additional amount of money they will receive over that time period. So moving on to student costs. So there are the direct costs that students incur as a result of their attendance. So tuition, supplies, these are fairly obvious. The one I'll highlight here is opportunity costs. So an opportunity cost simply is if a student is foregoing work or foregoing other opportunities, they incur costs as a result of that choice that they've made to prioritize their education. So we're simply including the amount of foregone work into the associated student costs. Now, obviously, we don't have complete information in terms of how much work every student is foregoing. Some students may choose not to work during their time at Daytona State. Some students, may be foregoing, work in part, so maybe moving from full time to half time. So it is an approximation of total amount of wages lost there. But again, we attempt to be conservative in that projection, so we're not overestimating any costs. Moving on to that benefit, how we arrive at that benefit cost ratio, we divide total benefits by total costs. So 412 by 66 million, and that gives us a benefit cost ratio of 6.2. Another way to put this is that for every dollar a student invests in their education at Daytona State, they receive $6.2 back over the course of their life. So essentially, they're successing their investment there. In addition to that benefit cost ratio here, you'll see a rate of return. So rate of return is simply a measure of the velocity at which they receive that money back. So how fast are they recouping their investment? One thing I'll highlight with that figure is in the executive summary, so in the executive summary report that you received, you'll see that we compare this figure to this isn't provided in isolation. We compare it to the 30-year stock market average annual return, as well as interest earns on a savings account. So for that stock market figure, that's about 10.1%, and interest earned on a savings account is about 0.5%. So essentially what we're attempting to do there is illustrate that an investment in their education at Daytona State will result in a return, that money being returned more quickly to them than if they just put it into the market or if they had just stuck it in the bank and let it accrue. Any questions I can answer on that part in particular? So moving to the taxpayer perspective, we're attempting to measure benefits and costs incurred by the taxpayer. So people who are paying into the college via their taxes, both locally and at the state level. So the primary benefit that the taxpayer derives from their investment is future higher tax revenue. Now, in the state of Florida specifically, lacking an income tax, this is a little bit different than we would measure it in a state with an income tax. But as a result of increased purchases and increased values in terms of sales taxes and other additional tax revenue that might be collected, for instance, property taxes, we are still seeing that the taxpayer receives a significant benefit as a result of their investment in Daytona State and colleges as a whole. On top of the additional tax revenue that they're receiving, there are also savings to the government that the college's alumni are creating, essentially. So this is because students, people who have received higher education, are less likely to engage in activities that might cause government costs, essentially. So what do I mean by that? Essentially, some of the major categories we look at in this section are cost to the justice system. So people who have a college degree have spent time in higher education, less likely to utilize the justice system in a number of ways. Income assistance programs, obviously somebody's earning more, that they're less likely to be on an income assistance program. And additionally in there is healthcare saving costs. So any state supported healthcare programs, people with higher education are less likely to make decisions that would lead them to rely on these sorts of programs. So generally what we're saying is, on top of these, because of their time at Daytona State, they're paying more generally in taxes, not proportionally, but a gross amount, and that they are incurring less costs to the government as a result of their attendance. Now, costs for this section are state and local funding, so funds received from the state and any local sources. So just the tax revenue that was provided to fund the college. So that is that where that cost figure comes from. Dividing those benefits by the costs, we have a benefit cost ratio of 1.7. Now, obviously, if we were to directly compare that 1.7 to that 6.2 or the 10.7 figure, I'll get to in a little bit, it seems low. But one thing I want to highlight here, emphasize, is that generally, when looking at a public investment, it's very rare and it's very hard to find another case where a direct benefit, a direct return on investment is measured. So you can think of an infrastructure, some sort of infrastructure project, a road, maybe a public park or anything else you might imagine that a locality would spend their tax revenue on. In the case of a higher education institution, we can say here that there is a direct return. So for every dollar the taxpayer puts in, they're getting $1.70 back, which is I believe, a powerful thing. We also measure the rate of return here for taxpayers about 3.6%. Any questions on this section? Yeah. Moving to our final piece here, social perspective. So social perspective is, we are in this section, we are attempting to measure benefits and costs to the state, to society in Florida as a whole. So we are widening our net from just people who are putting in money via their taxes or via their tuition to be inclusive of everybody in the state. I'll say for this section, that is also inclusive of students. So we are including their benefits as well as their costs, because those people who are remaining in the state of Florida, they're lumped in with society at large. So you'll see benefits here are in the benefits section, we list out some things that we've already talked about in the previous section. Growth in state economic base, so the additional income they're providing to businesses, those higher future earnings that the students are receiving, as well as private and social savings. So those are a more expansive group of savings, the savings that we just described in the previous section. But we're summing that really together to create sort of cast the widest net we can. When we widen our net to capture benefits, we also have to be inclusive. We have to widen our net to capture costs. So with our inclusion of future earnings those additional pieces, we have to also be inclusive of those student costs as well. But I don't want to put that there. Same arithmetic that we've been doing, dividing benefits by costs to get that benefit cost ratio of 0.7. Note at the bottom right there that we don't measure rate of return in this case because beneficiaries are not necessarily the same as the original. Any questions on this section here? In summary, we have a total added income of $942 million, about 3.4% of regional GRP, total jobs supported in the region about 13,600. And on the right there, you'll see those benefit cost ratios we just looked at. Here are just some potential next steps for you in using this study. So in the past, these have been used to inform state legislative efforts. Sharing industry impacts with local business partners, results can be shared with state and local media. It's been used to inform campus flyers, newsletters, websites to publish results. Particularly, we've seen people like to share that return on investment to students with parents or anyone else who might be helping finance their attendance. Leveraging impact here can be an informative for proposals, grant writing, and other strategic planning. In using the study, you're also in purchasing the study. You also purchase access to Lightcast as a tool to help share results and review any sort of press releases or just ask if any questions come up as you're sharing the study far and wide. You are more than welcome to ask questions. Just some examples here of how other institutions have shared results. So combining the results of this study with other additional pieces that you'd like to highlight to create a fact sheet or a flyer or one page or however you'd like to refer to it. Other institutions have used the underlying data to create dashboards, splash pages on their website, these sorts of things to help highlight the impact the college has. We've also seen these results published in periodicals, either by the college or regionally or shared with other sorts of magazines and whatnot. Some examples of press releases as well as social media posts and proposal writing. That is all I have for today. I wanted to give us one last opportunity if you have any questions for me or Hannah regarding the results, or if you have any other additional things you'd like us to clarify.
Appreciate it. Good information.
Thank you, Jake. Appreciate your time and information.